The giant snake fixed Anand with its cold, glittering eyes and said, "Ah, yes. We meet again, Anand. Under happier circumstances this time, though not as soon as I would have liked. You almost made it to that cursed valley, but thanks to my little servant here, you were held back." Anand struggled vainly once again to get away from Nisha's grip. "She's strong, my servant, isn't she?" The snake laughed. "In case you were wondering, it's my power that fills her." He flicked his tongue at Nisha, and she stood with a jerk, pulling Anand up with her. Anand glanced at her injured leg. It was straight and appeared to have healed. "You see, Anand," the snake taunted, "I take care of my servants, not like that old idiot who abandoned you to your own devices. You too should have chosen to serve me. You would be better off today if you had."
"Nisha didn't choose to serve you. You forced her," Anand managed to choke out the words.
"A mere technicality. I got inside her head the very first time we met and made a comfortable little nest there, biding my time. I got inside your head, too, for a few moments, then and again later. But each time I tried to settle in, somehow I found myself thrown out."
The serpent hissed with displeasure,
"but no matter. Whatever or whoever protected you is gone now."
"Help me," Anand cried silently to the conch. "Now more than ever before, I need you."
The conch was silent.
"For your own sake, if not for mine, show your power,"
Anand called angrily inside his head. "Do you want to be back in Surabhanu's clutches again?"
"Chessmen may move only one at a time," the conch's voice said, sounding as though it came from far away. "It is someone else's turn now."
"Stupid boy," the snake spat, "talking to that thing as though it were alive and intelligent. Being around Abaidata has addled your brain. The conch is a thing to be used by the one who possesses it. I told this to those fools at the Brotherhood, but they wouldn't listen. It's an object of power, yes, but only an object, after all. I know because I studied it carefully for all those years when I was stuck in that loathsome valley. But my reward now is that I know exactly how to use it, as you will find out in a moment."
Surabhanu couldn't hear the conch. The realization gave Anand a moment of hope, though he hadn't quite understood what the conch meant by its talk of chessmen.
But his hope faded as the snake slithered closer to him. It was almost upon him now.
"When I touch you," it said, "I will know where you've hidden the conch, and when I touch the conch, it will become mine. Then I'll be able to regain my own shape and not be limited by this form to which I've been confined ever since my battle with Abaidata."
Anand struggled desperately, but he couldn't escape Nisha's stone-hard grasp. "It's over," he thought. In a moment, the snake's slimy mouth would be on him. Then a flash of furry gold flew through the air like an arrow, launching itself at the snake's head. It was the squirrel. It fought the snake expertly, hissing and spitting, forcing it to back away from an amazed Anand.
"Raja," he breathed, "you came back. Thank you."
Then, as he stared at the feisty little animal, something he'd read a long time ago in a book came back to him.
"Why, you're not a squirrel," he whispered. "You're a mongoose."
The snake called to Nisha, "Quick, help me. Pick up the boulder near your foot and hit the boy on the head with it. Hit him hard and knock him out. I'll deal with him once I take care of this creature."